Welcome to the ministry of Gene Fraser. We trust that the word you're about to hear will have a transforming effect on your life. Now, here's Gene with today's message.
All right, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So, you know, God made both male and female. We're not gender neutral, not a mix of each other. He made males and he made females. And I'm about to tell you something, ladies, that I'm sure it's going to be such a revelation to you. So just hold on tight. Ready? We're different. I know. You were like, no way. I know. It's a good thing you were sitting down. But who knows, there are major differences. Of course, physically, but even in our soul. I mean, we are completely different. Okay, so this message today is not on that, but I want to touch on a few things just to help stir in us the reminder of, yes, we are different. Generally speaking, men are very physical. And generally speaking, well, women are much more emotional. Men are moved more by what they see. Women are moved more by what they feel. Men are intellectual. Women are stupid. No, I'm sorry, no. Men are intellectual, well, women are more experiential. Looking for or moved by an experience. So those are just a few things I wanted to mention. You all can make a huge list later if you choose to of the differences of men and women. But so men and women have different strengths and different weaknesses too. So those were some differences, and we won't get into that, but you know, we all have different strengths and different weaknesses because these characteristics, these things that we just spoke about even, some of them can be considered strengths and some of them can be considered weaknesses. Satan knows this, that we have different strengths and weaknesses. So who knows that Satan would love to benefit? He would love to take advantage of this. So this is benefiting us even this morning for us to be reminded of these things, to get more light on these things. It would benefit us also to know what the devil already knows. And in 2 Corinthians 2:11, it says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So not be ignorant of his devices here. We know men and women are different. Different strengths, different weaknesses. So to learn about the weaknesses of a woman, I first want to look at the first woman, Eve. We're going to read Genesis 2, 15 through 18, and then verse 21 through 22. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. Notice Eve is not here yet, right? And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. So I want to point out here, women were not created inferior to man. We were taken out of the side of man, not his foot. Amen. And it says there, we were comparable, not inferior. Woman was comparable to man. And notice, you know, the rib, that symbolizes a supporting role. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. It says over there, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. Okay, so Adam came first. God took the rib out, brought it over there, and he made Eve. So Adam was the one who was directly commanded concerning that tree, not Eve, okay? Adam was the one who was directly commanded from God directly to not eat of that tree. I think we can come to believe that Eve learned about God's command through Adam. You know, maybe when she came in and God brought her to him, you know, okay, well, Eve, I got to fill you in on a few things, right? And I'm sure one of the things he told her was, okay, you know, this is the place, this is the way this place is, this is how it's run, and, you know, by the way, you know, we are not to eat of that tree. Let's read Genesis chapter 3. We're going to go on here in verse 1 through 5. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Oh my. So there's a few things here we see that are not right about this already. Okay? So here's some weaknesses, you know, weaknesses of women, you know, that we need. Again, we're just generally speaking, women in general, but these are things that we can learn from and watch out for, because this is how the first woman started it all. So notice, you know, she said the tree in the midst. But in Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, show them that. Genesis 2, 9, it says, the tree of life was also in the midst of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So in the midst of the garden, I'm sure there were other trees, but there were two obviously very important trees. The tree of life and then the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So here, she's not even mentioning the tree of life. I believe this is showing that she isn't paying much attention to it. She's just thinking about the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the one that she was told not to eat. I mean, she could have answered him so many different ways. Well, yeah, I was told not to eat that one, but I can eat of this one. So, you know, who knows what, you know, what you're thinking about, what you're meditating on, that's what comes out of our mouth. And so I wonder, even here, it's just good to think, wow, well, I wonder, you know, was she really thinking about, was she really meditating and thinking on that tree of life, the one that she's able to eat? Seems like she might have been focused on the one that she wasn't able to be eating. Out of all the trees in the garden, and then these two ones that were specifically spoken out in the midst of the garden, and she's just bringing, she's not even mentioning this tree of life. She's just mentioning the other one that she's not allowed to eat. It's interesting. I wrote this down. You can think about this. Her words went where her thoughts were. Her words went where her thoughts were. So again, you see, she was thinking more on the tree she wasn't supposed to be eating of rather than the tree she was able to eat of, plus all the other trees she was, there was only one tree in that huge garden they weren't supposed to eat of, all right? And then here's something else we notice. Then she said, did you notice that? She said, nor shall you touch it. That's not what God told Eve. Nor shall you touch it. She added that. God did not say that. So to me here, the way I look at that, it seems like she's not even getting the story straight. It's like Adam sure told her what God said, and now she's adding to the story even. Has anyone ever added to a story? Has anyone ever exaggerated? You know, here, so Adam's telling her, you know, well, yeah, we're not, you know, we don't eat that. And here now, you know, she's telling Satan, yeah, well, we're not to eat it. We're not even supposed to touch it. I mean, she's, can you know, it's like, I think she's exaggerating here. She's at least definitely doesn't have the story right. Come on, ladies, sometimes you really think you have the story right, and you don't. Moving right along. And here's something else interesting about this. Why is she having a questionable conversation with someone that is so seductive? It says that he was cunning. Cunning means sneaky, sly. I can refer to it as a smooth operator. Anybody ever come in contact with a smooth operator? Now maybe, I don't fully know, did she know this? But I'm telling you, at least when he opened his mouth and he said, he questioned what her husband told her. And he questioned God. Right there. See you later, buddy. I'm out of here. And she should have ran. Gotten her husband to take care of that seductive thing. And remember, he wasn't a snake yet. Remember, that not until after that was all done, his legs and arms were taken away. So it's almost like a lizardy type of a thing he must have looked like. You know, I don't know. It sounds really gross to me. But, you know, he wasn't slithering yet. So he was totally undermining what her husband told her and basically undermining her faith in God here. in our trust, to be able to trust God. Because he said, don't eat of this tree, right? She was told that God said that. And now he's questioning, oh, you're not going to die. It's like questioning God. She should have walked away. So we want to watch that. We want to notice that. We don't want to play with that. So summary so far, she was more interested in and conscious of carnal things than spiritual things. Remember, she was more interested in the tree of knowledge of good and evil instead of the tree of life. So we must be aware, I wanted to put this in, because again, generally speaking, women, we kind of tend to be known for this, but we want to be aware that we're not more interested in the good and evil stories on Facebook or in other people's lives of this world, all the gossip, rather than what God is saying. You know, have you heard? Well, no, and I don't want to hear it from you either. You know, the inquirer, inquiring minds want to know. Let's not be an inquiring mind for evil and questionable things. Let's be an inquiring mind for the truth and only the truth. You know, the shows, The View, Ellen, soap operas, all of that. Women generally, because they're home during the day. I know someone is like making this. I know I cringe when I hear any of those words, and there's even more names I cringe. But see, I know sometimes women, you know, they're at home and they're just gullible. We'll get to that in a minute. But I mean, and I was stuck in soap opera land. I was totally stuck, especially before I was saved. And even after I got saved, it took some transforming of my mind. But I encourage you, you know, and everyone's at different spots. So this is not condemning to you, but I encourage you, if any of you are partaking of any of that kind of stuff on TV, I highly encourage you, you stop it and you stop it now. That is dangerous. You're being fed the world's views, The View. And again, we're not dealing with the flesh and blood. We're dealing with the devil. We're dealing with spirits, the spirit of this world, working through those people, trying to get in your mind and influence it and make you into something that you ought not be, something that you ought not do, a way you ought not look to. Amen. So don't be condemned by this. Maybe some of you in here, you think, oh, I didn't really understand that. Well, you got an understanding of it now, and that's just enough truth and light right there. Turn it off, shut it off. We don't need that stuff. We don't want to partake of that because it's very evil. We don't want it. Amen. We want the truth. Soap operas. My goodness. I mean, I remember. I mean, you get so caught up in it. I mean, I remember, does anyone remember Luke and Laura days back on General Hospital? I mean, I still see myself. Clover Hill and Poughkeepsie, I can see myself laying on the floor just like this, watching the wedding. But it's like it's living a lie. And who knows? We have an amazing life. You may think, oh, and that's, I think, so many women, they get caught up in all this and the romantic novels and all this kind of stuff. You're getting lost in a fantasy world. And a fantasy world is a dangerous world, ladies. It'll suck you in, it'll bring you in, and it will absolutely get you to yield to sin. And that's not where we want to be, you and me. So what do? We guard ourselves from what we know isn't true. But who knows, the media makes millions, even billions, on the weaknesses in women, such as this even. And then nor shall you touch it. We're just summarizing what we talked about so far. She exaggerated the story, right? Nor shall you touch it. We want to be aware of adding drama to the story of our life. Women being more emotional have a tendency sometimes to add a lot of drama to what is really happening. Come on, I think we've all been there, all done it. Some maybe still do it. By the help of the Holy Ghost, let's stop it. We can exaggerate and make a big deal over little things, adding more to it than it really is. And then what happens? We get overwhelmed. Generally speaking, we'll get overwhelmed and anxious because we've made it into such a big thing in our mind. We've exaggerated it. Just some things to think about. I'm a woman, so I can relate to this especially. These things that, you know, we deal with. And then also, what else? You know, she entertained the idea that she actually might know more than her husband or God. Because let's face it, when the devil told her that, she listened to his lie. And who knows, when you hear something, it'll make you question. That's why you got to watch it. When people start talking, you don't want to listen to those lies because it'll make you start thinking, Especially when it's got some truth to it. It could be really deceptive. So the world plays on this weakness. You know, the media, and have you ever seen this? We so strongly dislike this, how the media is constantly trying to make women out to be more intelligent and better than men. They look like a bunch of goofballs, dumb idiots. And I couldn't even tell you a name of a sitcom that goes on now. Seriously, we are so out of the TV world. And happy to say that I am, because I was glued to that thing. Not anymore. I can't even tell you what a sitcom, I have no idea. But knowing, you know, when we have, you know, football on, you see the commercials and just hearing from people, you know, and even just ads that you see, it's like they make these men look like absolute idiots. Like where's a picture of like just a good, nice looking man that kind of seems to have his act together? And then what do the commercials do to women and the ads do to women? The complete opposite, making them look like these goddesses and they're to be, you know, worshipped. These are very real weaknesses that Satan still seeks to exploit today. And as if that wasn't enough weaknesses, let's find out a few more. Genesis 3:6. This is a good one. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. My. These three things, notice it was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, desirable to make one wise. We find that over in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. Watch this. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, she saw it was good for food. The lust of the eyes, it was pleasant to the eyes. And the pride of life, it was desirable to make one wise, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Isn't that powerful? All three of them, I mean, they're even in order. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Eve showed up, every three one of them. So women, we must be aware of a love for the world. All the things that money can buy. Oh, diamonds are a woman's best friend. They're not my best friend. Jesus is my best friend. And that's why it's good we're exposing these weaknesses. We're seeing these weaknesses. And even as we're hearing Eve's, we're seeing it in our own lives, possibly, you know, in different ways, in different lights. And we're not afraid of that. We're not discussing Adam's weaknesses today. Adam did have some, but we're not going there because this is not a men's Bible study. This is a women's Bible study, and that's for them to deal with, and this is for us to deal with. Amen? But I know Pastor has talked. I believe he did a message, The Silence of Adam, to the men one time a while back, and how Adam just stood there and was with her and was listening. Remember in that scripture it said he was right there. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. He was right there. He never spoke up. The silence of Adam. Interesting. But we're going to talk about how she seduced, yeah, I use the word seduced, the man to get what she wanted. The word seduced, I know automatically, and even with me, sometimes you think seduced and you think, oh, you just think it's sexual. You know, it has to do with, you know, being sexy and, you know, with sex. And not necessarily at all. I looked it up. Seductive means having alluring or tempting qualities. Tempting, enticing. We could say that devil in the garden, he was seductive, right? It used the word cunning, but we could also say he was very seductive. He was alluring. He was tempting, enticing. The word seduce means to persuade to disobedience or disloyalty. To persuade to disobedience or disloyalty. To lead astray, usually by persuasion or false promises. She was seduced by Satan that day in the garden. And she turned around and she was seducing her husband. And he ate that thing. Mm-mm-mm. But, you know, I was just a little side journey, and they don't even have this. But James 1:14, it says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Or we could say tempted. So notice the temptation comes after we've been drawn away. So first we're drawn away, And then the temptation comes. So what's the answer? Don't be drawn away. The temptation won't come. What do you mean don't be drawn away? Stay in him. Abide in him. Cling to him. Stick to him like glue. If we're not drawn away from him, we will not enter into sin. Sin is nowhere near him. So Eve must have been neglecting her spirit, which gave place to the devil to entice or tempt her. Okay, so she was seduced by Satan. She was seductive then concerning to her, to the man there, because she was seduced. That her flesh, right? We just found out by her flesh, the eyes, the pride, all of that. She was seduced into yielding to sin. And then she turned around and she seduced Adam to eat it. But notice, this is interesting. It says she took of it and then she ate. And nothing happened up to that point. She took of it. She must have taken of that thing and been like, well, see, because remember, she's the one who exaggerated, saying, oh, even if we touch it, I'll die. But she's like, I touched it. I took it. I'm not dying. I'm not dying. Okay. So even there, that questioning, is God true or my husband, I know more than him. You know what I'm saying? And then she even ate it and still nothing happened. It didn't happen until Adam took of it. And that's when they lost some things. So this is still a problem today. How many know that our society, it's full of seductive women? And again, not just seductive doesn't automatically just mean, you know, sexy and things like that, although it very much does. But just, you know, just full of seducing spirits. You know, people yield. I mean, of course, men too. Just people yielding to just seducing spirits, trying to tempt us away, persuade us to disobedience or disloyalty. I mean, that's just not a place we want to be, ladies. Amen? One good thing to note, though, she took from the tree while her husband was with her, though. She didn't do it behind his back. I was in a certain place once, and I've had this happen numerous times. Even my husband and I, one time we were, and you just, what women do, and maybe some of you do this, maybe if you've done it, or maybe you're even doing it now. Again, let this, seeing the weaknesses here and knowing this is not good, let it help to change you and just change it, because it's deceptive and you don't want to be deceptive. But, you know, just hearing, I was in a certain place and I forget exactly how the woman said it, but basically she was almost implying, do you want to put any extra money in an account so you have it to, you know, for your next time so you don't have to get the money from your husband? I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, there's women, they open up secret credit cards or something, or I mean, they do all sorts of stuff, or even just, you know, you bought something and you just kind of try and hide it because, you know, you really don't want them to know, that kind of stuff. I don't know. I want to stay in the light because I know in the light everything's going to be right. And I want to stay in the truth. So my life's got to show the proof. So if that's been going on, we stop that. Amen. We stay in the light. And you know what? Let God show up big time in your life. I want to let God show up big time in my life. If there's something you really want or whatever it is, you talk to your daddy about that. You don't have to go trying to get it another way. Be sneaky and cunning like that serpent. Talk to God. Plead your case. Talk to him about it. And you watch how that works out. Amen. Amen. Chapter 3, verse 7. Okay, so now we go on. Then the eyes of both. Now remember, what was the last scripture here in verse 6? She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. So notice, still nothing happened. But watch now, verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened. Listen to me. Eve was deceived. Adam disobeyed. That's the difference. So the presence of God, naked, he didn't leave yet. I mean, she was deceived. It was the disobedience that cut them off, not being deceived. It was the disobedience. There's one thing to be deceived. It's another thing to absolutely just outright disobey. So then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden of the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So, of course, here, this is the first time we see, you know, woman learned how to sew. Some of us still haven't learned how to sew, but that's okay, because I've got a go-to person, a few go-to people. They tried to fix a spiritual problem with natural things here, such as clothing. It was a spiritual problem. She was deceived, still nothing happened, but then he disobeyed, and together, boom, they were naked, they saw themselves, and they had a problem now, a spiritual problem, and they were trying to cover it up with natural things. And so we were talking about cover up, right? Here they're trying to cover up, well, even with us, with makeup. I mean, makeup's a good thing. I mean, we're grateful for makeup, right? We are grateful for makeup. But makeup can only cover up some natural flaws that we might have. But only God can supply to us what we need spiritually to get us covered up and clean. We must run to God, not from him. They ran from the presence of the Lord. Or excuse me, in here it says they hid themselves. I mean, can you imagine hiding yourself from God like you don't want him to find you? First of all, like you're dumb enough to think like he doesn't know where you are anyway. But anyway, so they're hiding like as if God, oh, where are you? They're hiding instead of running to him. They're hiding from him. We want to run to God, not from God. So then he can wash us clean. He can adorn us spiritually the way he wants to. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 5, I want to read this scripture to you. Do not let, and we've preached on this before, and there's so many different religions and teachings. They have this thing so messed up. Bless their hearts. You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with putting makeup on and wearing jewelry and wearing fine clothes. My Lord, it's in the world for us. But women are in such bondage through religion and deception, thinking they can't do any of this. That's not what the scripture says. It says, don't let it be merely the outward. Arranging the hair, wearing, like you really think like God wants us to come without fixing our hair. We're not supposed to get up and shower and clean up and fix our hair. We're just supposed to come the way we woke up. No! God loves us too much, and he loves those that we're going to see too much too, to have us do that. Amen. Say, he loves me too much. Amen. Don't let your adornment be merely that outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, which with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Amen. So that's what's more important. Doesn't mean that the other things aren't important. This is most important, though. And so, you know, many women are trying to cover up guilt and shame they feel in their hearts. You know, I think a lot of things with women is, you know, eating, food binges. Ever been on a food binge before? You know, you're trying to cover up. You're like, just like Adam and Eve in the garden that day, you know, all of a sudden they knew they had sinned and immediately they didn't run to God. Oh God, I've sinned. Help me. They hid from God trying to cover themselves up. They were trying to deal with it on their own. They were trying to fix it themselves. Have you ever tried to fix it yourself? Have you ever found out there's just some things you can't fix? Only God can fix. But you know, women, they trying to cover up guilt and shame with food binges or even material possessions, gossip, etc. But yet they remain loaded down with sin because they're trying food binges, all these different things. Yet still there's women, they're just loaded down with sin because they're hiding from him. Have you ever had someone try and hide from you? Totally. Even I just had someone recently literally cut me off. I mean, defriend me on Facebook, unlike the ministry of Gene Fraser, blocked me. I can't even text him. And I'm talking full out. I don't even want to ever see you again. And that's okay. She cut herself off from life. She cut herself off from a very amazing answer that God was so endeavoring to bring into her life. She cut it off. But I don't take it personally. Now, to sit here and say it didn't hurt me when it first happened, my God, of course it does. Because first of all, I know that I'm a testimony for the Lord. I don't want anyone to think evil of me and wrong of me. But you can't make people think right about you. You just can't. I mean, trust me, I've tried. You can't. You just can't do it. God knows how to fix it all. Amen. So you just let it be. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5 through 8. Let's read there. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people turn away, for of this sort are those who creep. Sounds like the snake, right? Cunning, sly. They creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins and led away by various lusts. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Women can be very susceptible to material lust, to guilt, deception, to all these things. But notice there's those that will literally try and creep into households. And it's not this actually physical body that's going to try and creep in. He's been trying to creep through the TV. We talked about that. Trying to creep through that magazine. Amen. I wouldn't let him creep in. He's a creep. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. Another good scripture. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. So remember, we already said this. That she was the one who was deceived. Adam was not deceived. Adam disobeyed. She was deceived and she fell. Have you ever tripped and fallen before? She was deceived and she fell. Adam blatantly, outright disobeyed, and he was cut off. He sinned. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Just another scripture I want to show you. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness. See, let's not think, Eve, you stupid idiot. I mean, he was better. Well, some of us, you stupid idiot, you should have known better, right? I mean, he was crafty. He was cunning. He was sly. He didn't make it easy. He really had a way about him, and that he actually thought he could get her to believe him over what her husband said and ultimately what God said. He thought he had a chance, and obviously he did. But it's the serpent that deceived Eve, just kind of showing how she was deceived. So this is a strong weakness for women at times, just being deceived. That's what we're learning here. We don't want to be deceived. Amen. Say, I do not want to be deceived. So it's important to realize that we have only covered so far the weaknesses that have been passed down by our mother in the flesh, our mother Eve. But now I want to show us, well, let's read here. Genesis 3:20, just to show you that that is who she was. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. So, in a way, in the flesh, she is our mother. But now, through faith, we have another mother to look up to. Aren't you grateful? This is a woman who overcame weaknesses by faith. We are women of faith, women. You know, when we were born again, we were given a measure of faith. You have faith in you. I have faith in me. Glory to God. We just need to activate that thing and get it churning and working. Glory to God. But it's in there. Say, it's in there. We have a spiritual inheritance. Isaiah chapter 51, verse 1 and 2. Watch what this says. Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness. Is that us? All right, say, I'm listening. You who seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. So even as Abraham, we hear so much about he was our father in the faith, or he is our father in the faith. Well, we can just rightly say as well, Sarah is our mother in the faith. And she did amazing things. We're just going to touch on one right here. Just she's in the Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11. In verse 11, watch what it says. By faith, Sarah herself, I love that. Sarah herself, not with the help of her husband on this thing right now, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. Remember when it was taken so long for them to have that promised baby. But by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive the seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because Abraham judged him faithful. Her husband? No. Because she judged him faithful who had promised To me, that tells me that if Abraham was the only one that judged him faithful and she didn't get on board with that, there wouldn't have been no baby. She had a lot to do with it. She judged him faithful who had promised. Amen. That's whose mother? That's our mother. See, that's my mom. Woo! Glory. I'm just like her. Amen. We're growing up to be just like her. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. That's a good way to adorn yourself. If you have a husband, being submissive to him. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. So through the new birth, we have inherited the same spirit of faith, not only as Abraham, but as Sarah too. Hallelujah. So it didn't start off too good with those weaknesses of Eve, but then glory to God, even Sarah then, I mean, she had some weaknesses, but the faith and the trust in her God lifted her up above all of that. And by faith, she overcame them. So we need to know our weaknesses according to the flesh so that we can cling that much more to the strength of the Spirit. You know, the Bible says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, it says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. That's grace. When I am weak, I feel like I'm weak, I can't do it. I can't, or even today, Pastor Gene, this is too much. I see so many weaknesses in myself. I see, it just seems like us women, we have no chance. I'm just a mess and I'll always be a mess. Oh, that reminds me, I wrote something down here. Earlier, I wrote this down. I heard someone say, well, that's just how I am. Like with a helpless, hopeless type of a voice, just like that. Well, that's just how I am. And God says back to you, well, then that's just how you'll stay. We can't look at ourselves. It's just how I am. We got to look at him. And anything that I am can change with him. It has, it is, and it will continue to as I continue to look to him to do that. So don't let a helpless, hopeless type of sigh come, because I heard that in the spirit. I heard that. That's just how I am. Like as if there's no chance of change. Of course there's a chance of change. Of course there's a chance of hope. We serve the God of all hope. But it's not up on God's part. It's up to us. And it's up to us to continuously turn our heart towards him, towards the one, this thing that he did begin, to continue to look to him. And through every battle, every temptation, everything that would try to come against us, look to him to win. Don't always expect yourself to lose. You're a winner. I'm a winner. We're winners. What do winners do? Do winners lose? Winners win. Winners don't quit, because if they quit, they'd lose and they wouldn't be a winner anymore. They'd be a loser. So we're not a quitter either, because the quitters aren't the winners. And sometimes we just give up too soon on God working on us, doing a work in us. Got to be patient with yourself. He's been patient with us. So let's be patient with us too. But not satisfied with where we are, always knowing there's so much more to be. There's so much more to do. But it's not in our own strength. It's through him, the power of his strength. And I'll tell you, I've had some times where it's like, you talk about you feel weak. Like, and it's at those times when we feel our weakest is really such the most amazing opportunity for him to be the strongest in us. That's when we're strong, when we're weak. You see that? That's when we're strong. You're not strong because you're so smart and you know so much and, you know, you've got an amazing education and you've had so many experiences in life. That's not what makes you that way. the Spirit of God living on the inside. He makes us look good. He makes us sound good. Amen. And so when we're weak, that's when he's strong. Say, when I'm weak, that's when he's strong. But it's not going to happen if we're looking at ourselves thinking, but this is just the way I am. Nothing's going to happen. We got to look to him. Amen. He who began a good work, he's faithful. He's going to complete it. The only thing that he needs from us is just don't quit. If we just won't quit, we win. You think, well, oh, I've tried that before. So you tried it. It doesn't work when you try. The power of God is denied when you try. Because, see, you're trying. You're trying. There's no trying with God. There's trusting God. And he's faithful. He's faithful. He's full of faith. He's full of truth. He's full of light. Amen. He's amazing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I'll tell you, I know this was very strategic for this to come forth and for us to hear these things this morning. Amen. I've got a handout here, declarations, some things we're going to, and I need one too, please. These ladies are going to hand out to you. Oh, they made it so girly looking. Thank you. You know, lately, even in the beginning, it's the end of this year. I don't remember. There was a time when I was praying. I mean, it was so stirring and being just declarations. And, you know, we're not saying these things to be these things. We're saying these things because really we are these things. And it's like we're just needing to get our mind renewed and transformed and renewed into knowing who we really already are. God created his world. He created this whole world through his words, through his confession. We're creating our world with our confession, ladies, for the good or the bad. So we confess things not to get things. We confess things out of a knowing we have these things. This is who I am, and I'm confessing. I'm making it known, glory to God. And as I'm making it known, me, spirit man, remember, we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. As I'm declaring this, me, spirit, as I'm declaring who I am, glory to God, by the Spirit, it's letting my mind know, and it's letting my flesh know, and anybody else that wants to hear me know too. But we're not confessing to get it. Just like healing, it's so important. I know people, we do it. We do it all the time, and it's just not the way. You're not confessing the healing scriptures so God will heal you. He healed you over 2,000 years ago. You're confessing it because that is the truth. That is what's true. And the sickness that's trying to come on you is just a lie and a deception. So we're not confessing to get it. We're confessing because we have it. That little thing right there changes everything in our thinking. So I want us to confess this together. I will be led by my spirit and not be controlled by my emotions. I am a spiritual woman, not an emotional woman. And let me say this too here. We're putting our words out, helping to prepare the way for even today in our day. Because I'm saying, I will be led by my spirit and not be controlled by my emotions. We're just like God spoke the world and it was. We are speaking out and it's making the way for us today. Amen. And it's like as we're declaring it, don't you feel like a fight in you kind of rise up? It's like, glory to God, this is the way it's going to be. I will be led by my spirit and not be controlled by my emotions. Together, I am a spiritual woman, not an emotional woman. I'm moved by my faith, not by how I feel. That's a big one. I don't need an experience, just the truth of God's word. I will not be ignorant of Satan's devices. I am neither superior nor inferior to others. Now listen, it all starts in our thoughts there. Watch it. Because, I mean, we all have to deal with that. You know, and sometimes we think, well, I know I feel inferior, but, you know, superior is just as bad, if not even more dangerous, when you feel superior in your thoughts. I am a support and a help to others. I am more interested in and conscious of spiritual things than carnal things. Doesn't mean I'm not interested in carnal things. It just means I'm more interested in spiritual things than carnal things. God's given us all things to enjoy. We're to enjoy life and enjoy things, you know. But it's just who comes first, what comes first, and it's him. It's him. I'm not interested in all the good and evil gossip of this world. I just care what God is saying. I don't exaggerate and bring a lot of drama into my relationships. I don't get overwhelmed and anxious about things. I trust God. Yes. I don't love the world or the things money can buy. I don't exploit my beauty or seek the money and praises of people. I resist being seduced and will not seduce or deceive others. I will confess my sin, not cover it up by excessive eating or anything else. I'm more concerned with the adorning of my spirit than my outward adorning. I will not live in guilt and shame any longer. I am forgiven. I am forgiven. Hallelujah. I am forgiven. Woo! Glory, glory. And it's a choice. And it's something you need to give your voice. Put it in your mouth.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Gene Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org or call 888-542-2555. You can hear more messages by Gene Fraser by going to her media page at genefraser.org. While you're there, you'll also find more information about Gene's bi-monthly Ladies Bible Studies and a Night in the Glory Ladies Meetings, as well as her annual You Glow Girl Ladies Conference. That website again is genefraser.org. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.